Hey guys, it's your favorite podcast. We're doing just a quick little supplemental. I'm here with my good friend and now fellow podcaster, Rene Bravo.
Hello.
You know him from all the numerous Doctor Who panels and I call Rene whenever we have anything comic book related to talk about, because he and Victoria are like the experts of all time. So we just want to give you a quick review. So what I thought we would do, Rene, is just give like a 1 minute what we thought of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
And then we'll let everybody know spoilers to come, and then we'll talk about our favorite stuff.
All right, yeah.
So just from the top of your head, as spoiler free as possible.
Okay.
You liked the movie, obviously.
Yes, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
A lot of funny moments. The action was great. Obviously, Marvel did a good job of casting for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never let you down, because Chris Pratt was phenomenal as Star-Lord. I was shocked how Batista was good with Drax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, he's a wrestler.
That's right.
And
you want to be a wrestler, Horseface.
And, you know, I mean, I wasn't shocked by Zoe Saldana doing Gamora, because she's infamous for doing sci-fi movies,
yeah.
You know? So I was like, okay, so she's going to be a good Gamora.
Sure.
And Bradley Cooper shocked me as a Rocket Raccoon.
Really good. Really, really good.
So funny, man.
And brought a lot of heart. There's that one... Well, we don't want to give a spoiler, but there's one moment where
you have like a little aw with
you
Rocket.
Feel he's not just like this one-dimensional like cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. You really feel him as like a character,
mm-hmm.
You know. And that's what I think makes Guardians so good, is that like these are not your run-in-the-mill superheroes, you know. These are not like people that are like gods like Thor,
mm-hmm.
or billionaires like Tony Stark,
yeah.
Or has like a great heart like Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
These are just like normal people that just want to live their day-to-day lives, you know, and they just get together and just save the galaxy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was, I posted on my Facebook page, I said it's everything a movie, summer movie should be, and by that I mean, you know, it's fun. I think what's going to keep, I know talking to a lot of people, they just don't know a lot about Guardians of the Galaxy, and they assume that because, you know, I read comic books and stuff that I do, but I really didn't know anything about it. I remember you're the first person that told me there was going to be a movie.
Yeah.
You're like, did you hear they're going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy, or they're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
And he said, what's that?
And I said, what's that? I literally said, what's that? I was like,
what's that? He's in the store at Undercity Comics, and I'm talking to him, all excited. He's like, Mario. He goes, what? He goes, what's happening, brah? And he goes... And I go, they're going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And then he's looking around the comic book store, just like listening to me, like he normally does. He just listens to me and goes, what's that?
It's like when I told you about Pacific Rim, and you're like, I don't know what that is. And
I showed
you the preview.
I know, you come up to me and be like, oh.
But your enthusiasm, as always, was infectious. So it got me to start reading the new series, which is the
all-new Marvel
the,
now.
The new Marvel now. Brian Michael Bendis is writing that.
Yeah.
So I started reading that series, but then there was a previous series, I guess, in 2008 there was one that
yes.
was right before.
It was the Annihilators.
Yeah, and then but the comic has its origins back in the 60s. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I give this. I mean, this is a solid summer movie for me. I don't really have a grading system like A, B, C, or D, but I would highly recommend going to see it, even if you know nothing about it.
Yeah. That's part of the fun. You get to figure out who these people are.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. It doesn't come with you don't come with a preset, and I think because you don't have that, your expectations aren't. Like, well, this isn't the way this superhero would normally act, or
yeah,
I didn't like it for this reason. You just take the characters as they are, and they're really well written.
Yes, they are.
And it's a lot of fun. It's really well directed. And I'm not making any comparisons to Star Wars, but it definitely has a Raiders Star Wars kind of feel.
Yeah. I was at the store just on Saturday, and I come up to Victoria, and I go, because I told her that I saw Guardians, and she's like, how was it? It was really good. And she said that some customers said that it was better than Star Wars.
I wouldn't say it was better than...
And I go, Star Wars is its own category.
Yeah, but I will say what I told somebody was the tone, everything, it captured everything that the prequels for Star Wars should have been.
Yes, yes.
And so obviously what's funny now is I think Lucas has inspired a generation of filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now making the movies better. We talked about that with the Clone Wars, how the Clone Wars cartoon is better. It's what the movie should have been, you know?
Yeah, it should have been what the prequels would have been.
Yeah, and it's all these people that are now have taken a page out of the George Lucas playbook, and they can actually do it better than he can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would highly recommend going to see that, checking it out, and you will love it, man, even if you know nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy. And as a bonus for people that don't know, what I think could have been the main distraction was one of the main selling points, and that's the soundtrack.
Yes.
And the soundtrack is almost all 70s pop music, and it really could have been distracting, and if they had done it wrong, it could have been terrible, but they really pulled it off right.
You told me that it was going to be like overkill with the music, and I'm like, I don't know, it sounds pretty good.
They did a good job. They did a great job with it. So that's our quick little thumbnail review. So if you do not want spoilers,
stop right now.
Go see Guardians of the Galaxy. We highly recommend it. So from here on out, there be spoilers. So let's do a little beep. All right. Welcome back to the review, guys. We're here with we're going to go deep for the next about 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. So Renee, like, give us, like, what were some of your, I will tell you that my favorite, let me give you.
Go.
Where the movie really hit me is we took my daughter to see it, and there was, it kind of reminded me of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then there's a lot of people exploding. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, and that's why I meant it had like a very Raiders Star Wars-ish feel. So there was some, there's a few dark moments. It's pretty dark, but it's something I think my daughter was able to handle. She's 9, and she's seen a few movies. I mean, you know, like that, but nothing super intense. But you know, she's gotten to the point. But I'll tell you the part that really hit me where I knew this movie was going to be huge was as we were walking out of the theater, my wife and daughter were both quoting the movie.
There you go.
And they were talking about, you know, and with my daughter, that's not such a big deal because, you know, she's kind of into comics and stuff. Yeah. But for my wife and her, and they were like, they did the line because my daughter said, you know what, we're going to need to pull this off. And then they both at the same time said, that guy's eye, and just started cracking up, you know. So I think that really speaks to how broad, like, the appeal of this movie can be, you know. Yeah. My wife is a huge fan of the buddy comedy formula where you have, like, one guy who's, like, who can do his job and is competent, and then you have, like, the kind of the sort of, like, the next guy isn't quite as or maybe totally incompetent, and that's always like a formula for a good buddy comedy.
Yeah.
My wife is a sucker for anything that has
it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, I will let me give you an example. She will go to bed watching Die Hard with a Vengeance, you know, which is like,
that's so good.
You know, like, so, like, I'll come up and find that. But anything where it's like two people, that's one of her favorites. So when she said this, we were talking about it the way she goes, that is like that formula multiplied to like the highest degree.
Yeah.
This movie, there's such good interplay between the characters.
There is.
And it's hard for me to really pick who I like the best.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite character, honestly, because, you know, each character has their own, what is it? I think it was you that talked to me about it, that, like, almost every single character, or maybe it's someone else, like, almost every single character had their funny moment but Gamora. Like, Gamora had her, like,
She kind of did, because when she asked about the sticks in the butt.
Okay, yeah, but that was, like, only one thing. Like, Drax had, like, three or four.
Drax. I was wondering how they were going to do it with Drax, because that's always such a hard character to pull off, like the muscle guy.
Yeah, and it was funny.
He pulled it off.
The first thing you hear from him is, you know, when Rocket's describing his race, he goes like, yeah, just like everything goes over their head. He goes, nothing goes over my head. I have fast reflexes.
I would catch it.
I have fast reflexes.
I'm writing down a note here. But yeah, everybody had a great moment. And that, and you know, They took a lot of risks. You know, Groot could have come off as really awful. Groot could have been like the Jar Jar Binks.
He would have been.
And my wife brought up a good point. She said it's like she said they have like the Han Solo Chewbacca thing, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Where the furry one is the one that speaks the everybody's language. You know. But yeah, you know, it had some heart. I mean, you know, and there's so much for a Marvel movie. I will say that it's easy to get into. Because you don't have to know the characters, but it's plot heavy. There's a lot going on with like Thanos and
there is.
And Nebula, and
for people that want to know the certain people, and then like also talking about the Infinity Gems too, you have to kind of watch,
which is a huge deal in the Marvel universe. It is.
So you kind of have to watch Phase 1 and 2 to get those. But honestly, you can just walk in if you're just and just watch the movie for the characters. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know that. They basically show the Tesseract and and everything. Yeah. Those are all part of the Infinity.
Did you see one of the Dark Elf's armies?
Yeah.
He's in the background with the Collector.
He's in the Collector's little... Somebody also said that my wife spotted something, but she couldn't quite figure out what it is. Hmm. But then there's the whole spoiler at the end, the little tag, which we'll get into.
Yes, we will.
Which was kind of funny. But and that's a nice nod to the rest of the Marvel Universe. But I thought... Marvel is at the point now where, and this is what I was thinking about, the difference between, because I think you posted the thing about how they don't understand how people will only like Marvel or only like DC, and I don't remember, somebody posted that, it was on Facebook yesterday. And I'm the same way, because we've talked about how Marvel has their heroes seem to, except for Batman, I think their heroes seem to be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
And then, but the Marvel, where they fall flat, is kind of the villains. The villains aren't as well known as the DC villains.
Yeah.
Joker, Riddler. Yeah.
I think that's what separates.
Yeah.
That's what gives Marvel and DC like their boundaries, because most people know about the heroes for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of people know about their villains.
And I just realized that leads me to what I was going to say. I think the reason that DC trails as far as, because they have the Batman franchise, which, mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan really took that to another level. But I think the difference is Marvel, and especially in this movie, Marvel realizes that what's the best part about reading comic books? They're fun.
Yes.
Comic books are fun to read.
Fun.
And
really
so the movies are fun.
Yeah.
And when they kind of step away from that, they make the first Captain America a little too serious, just because Captain America's serious.
Yeah.
So they kind of stepped away from that. And then I think that, to me, I don't like the first Captain America as much as I like the rest of the Phase 1 movies.
Yeah.
But then when they did Winter Soldier, which was a little darker, fun with it.
Yeah.
They had more fun with it. And they brought in Falcon, and they brought in Black Widow, and they made it more fun. And I think... the problem with DC is they've been trying to make everything just so epic and just so, and it's just like, dude, just make.
Yeah. Just go and make your movie.
Have a good time with it.
Yeah. Don't worry about.
Then again, they did try to do that with Green Lantern. Oh, it didn't work out.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. I think they kind of like lost because they went too loose with that one.
Yeah.
And then like with the Nolan trilogies, those were good, but it wasn't Batman satisfying. Like I always tell people this, the Nolan trilogy Dark Knight series was good,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't Batman satisfying.
Staying that true to the comics. And and the thing is, DC does such a great job with their animated films.
Yeah.
But I think Guardians of the Galaxy is a perfect example of why Marvel is just destroying when it comes to putting out these live action movies, because mm-hmm. These movies are fun to watch.
They are.
And, you can, maybe I don't like, do I like Thor, the Thor, second Thor, Thor, or Thor Dark World as much as I like the rest of the, no.
No.
But it's still fun.
You still watch it.
Yeah. I mean, Iron Man 3, is it great? Did it blow me away like Iron Man 1 did? No.
No.
But it's still fun to watch. It's fun to watch Robert Downey Jr. do that kind of stuff, and it's not gonna win any Academy Awards, but, as far as being part of the mythology and, as far as, moving the movie universe forward, it does its job.
Yeah, it does.
And
it
so really does. Guardians of the Galaxy really kind of taps into the whole. Now we're getting into the whole, because there's a whole slew of Marvel titles that take place in outer space.
This opens the world of Marvel so much.
And I was just rereading the Bendis run of Guardians of the Galaxy, and it talks about how Earth has been the center point, like how Dark Phoenix went there and was destroyed.
Yeah.
How Galactus has been turned away several times, and they can't understand what's so special about Earth.
Yeah,
and you have the Kree and the Skrull and all that. They have barely tapped. We haven't even seen a Skrull yet.
I know.
I think that has to do with the Fantastic Four belonging to.
I think that's the Inhumans belong with Fantastic Four.
Oh, is that true? Because I know the Skrull, because there's the Super Skrull that's like all of the elements of the Fantastic Four and all that.
Yeah, I think if anything, but now with the Secret Invasion that came out,
okay,
it's more it's more open to the Marvel universe.
How familiar with you were you with the Guardians of the Galaxy when the movie came out?
When the movie came out,
or when they announced the movie?
When they announced the movie, I knew who they were. I didn't know them a whole lot though. Mm-hmm. So when I did it, you know, when I did hear that they were going to do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I was like, oh, okay. So you know, we finally get to see Rocket Raccoon. I knew Rocket Raccoon way before I knew about like Star-Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because you just hear about this team, you know, and you just hear about this little raccoon.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, he's like a little guy that just carries around a big gun and he loves to shoot people.
Yeah. They didn't quite get into that, I think, because, again, they were going for the PG-13. But if you read the first issue of the new Guardian of the Galaxy, the Bendis run, he's just running around and he's just killing people and he's going, bam, murdered, bam, murdered you.
Which was funny because, you know, me and a couple of my friends were wondering if they were going to touch on to that.
Yeah.
They kind of did, but you enjoy just him interacting with Groot. And
The part that made my wife laugh the hardest was when he said... when they did the whole gag with the prosthetic leg.
Oh, that was so funny.
And you just see what a bastard he is, because he's like, we didn't need that. Like, he's like, I just wanted to see, was it funny? What did he look like hopping around?
I know. He goes like, I'm going to need his prosthetic leg. Really? Yeah, look at him. I mean, I don't need the rest of him. Look at him. He's worthless.
So good. So all the characters were great. It was a lot of fun. And did you have a favorite moment? Or
I had a few favorite moments. One would have to be when... in the beginning, when you see Star-Lord walking through, he turns on his awesome music.
Redbone. Yeah, he's listening to Redbone.
And he's like kicking little aliens around and dancing.
When
the same
he song. Kicked that first rat, like that first little rat thing, he just boots it. I was laughing so hard. Like, I knew I'm just going to love this movie.
That's what's so amazing about Guardians.
Like, you knew
first
in the
scene.
First credit scene.
It does a little up. In the beginning, like
yeah,
a little bit of up.
They give you a little bit of backstory that you need.
Yeah, and then like later on, you know, it's like what is it? 26 years.
I think 26 years later. So he's
like 26 years later. You know, you just see Star-Lord dancing around, trying to collect this item that he's just searching for, and he's just dancing around, kicking little rat aliens
He's got his Walkman on.
Yeah.
My only problem with the movie, I have no problem with interstellar travel or a weapon that is activated by whistling. What I do have a problem with is, as an avid tape collector in the 80s, mm-hmm. There's no way that tape would last this long.
Right?
It would have gotten eaten by now.
Same thing with his Walkman. His Walkman was like in pristine condition, too.
Well, you got to figure it's the future. He probably has the technology to play magnetic tape somewhere.
Right.
But, there were so many good moments, and the effects were the special effects were fantastic. Groot and Rocket could have been really distracting, but they looked really good.
They did.
Believe that they're there. You forget that it's, you know what I mean? You believe they're right there and they're talking to everybody.
It's really good. And I, one of my last favorite parts I just loved was near the end when, and this is a spoiler one, right? So we can talk about
Of course.
Was near the end when like Groot was growing back into his pot and the Jackson 5 is playing in the background and he's dancing.
I'll tell you what, man, that Jackson 5 song, the Jackson 5 takes me back to being just a really little kid, because I remember my cousins were obsessed with like the Jackson 5 and they had records. And so when they played the Jackson 5 at the end, man, it took me back to being a little kid. As soon as I heard that. And then I want to do say this, my wife was hoping, one of the movies I cannot stand, because I always say that like, movies that are geared towards women, they kind of cheat emotionally sometimes, cause they just do stuff to like, they'll like go right for the jugular as far as emotions. So instead of building something, they'll use music or whatever, and they'll just undercut. So it's like a shortcut to get. So one of my wife's favorite movies is called, not her favorite, but she likes it. And there was a while there where she would watch it all the time. It was called Stepmom, and it's with Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon. And Susan Sarandon's dying, and Julia Roberts. Anyway, there's a scene where they're singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and I always get mad because they're making the little boy sing with the hairbrush, and it looks like he's just having a good time. And it's like, no little boy wants to lip sync to that song with his mom and his sister. What I mean? So it's always like, I'm always like, it makes me hate that song. And, you know, and dude, it's Marvin Gaye, you know, like you shouldn't hate that song.
Yeah.
So this kind of reclaimed it for me in the in that, because as that scene where it's Awesome Mix Volume One, Volume Two, when he gets the second tape,
and when he listens to it,
and when he listens to it, and if you think about it, it's awesome because he's telling, it's his mom telling him, I will always be there.
It takes
a comic movie with a talking raccoon for for that song to connect with me.
Yeah.
But that song that sort of reclaimed that song for me, because now I'm gonna think of that instead of thinking of stupid kids singing into his hairbrush, which
that's
I still
so you just got replaced with a good memory
rather than a bad and you know this the same thing goes for The Notebook, where it's like we're gonna use a disease and manipulate you into feeling bad for these, you know what it's always like well don't do that,
they always go the shortcut to to hit your feels,
exactly. And you know that sometimes I'm a sucker for that, but in those two instances I'm like, The Notebook is absolutely the worst movie I've ever seen. It does not have a talking raccoon or a talking tree. But
good if it doesn't have
I found out today that his ship is named the Milano. It's named after Alyssa Milano. And they talk about how God. Never mentioned in the comic books, but I guess they named it the Milano because he's a kid from the 80s, so he would have had a crush on Alyssa Milano. Who's the Boss?
Oh, that's right.
We have a connection to Who's the Boss because a friend of the show, who shall remain nameless, was on that show and got to make out with Alyssa Milano.
Really?
Yeah. I'm hoping to get him as a guest because he is hilarious. He's and we've talked about him being on the show, and I want to ask him exclusively about that. I want to be 1 hour on what it was like.
I want to ask him too.
His character married her in the last season of Who's the Boss.
And I had a big crush on her. Charmed.
She's still fantastic. She's still
a very, very beautiful woman.
And she was one of the first, if you don't like Alyssa Milano for this reason, for any other reason, she was a huge proponent of Twitter when it first started. She was she was one of the early adopters, and she was really, really helpful to a lot. She would send stuff out about this is how to tweet, this is do the, you know, and so the early days of Twitter, you would get all this Alyssa Milano stuff, and she was one of the people that was like, you know, kind of embraced it early on. And I like Alyssa Milano because she's a huge Dodgers fan too, so she's always posting stuff about
just wins your heart, right?
Just wins my heart, man. Are you kidding me? America's sweetheart. But yeah, I loved it, man, and it bodes well. I will tell you, so going in, Captain America Winter Soldier was like my movie of the summer, and a couple things got close. Days of Future Past got close.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was shockingly good.
Really close. There were a couple movies that were like, ooh, I don't know, and then boom, Guardians. Here comes
last
Guardians.
Last movie, last blockbuster of
the summer.
So
I don't know about, I still don't know, but it's even with, it's going to be at the end of the year when I'm thinking about my favorite movies, it's going to be one of those two.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have to see which one holds up, but
I think for right now, for me, Guardians is going to hold up for the summer until the end of the year, which is going to be around The Hobbit when that comes out.
Oh, The Hobbit. So, see, you know what? The Hobbit is, I think I'm looking forward to it, but I'm just...
Oh, yeah. You told me that you weren't really...
I haven't been blown away
about it cut to three movies.
Yeah, I don't like it being cut to three movies. And then I just read a really great article on how they don't have as much pre-production as they did with Lord of the Rings. They had to kind of rush the pre-production, which is why the CGI looks somehow worse than it did ten years ago.
Yeah. It does look a little rushed, but the story, though, because I read the book when I was a kid, the story looks good. The story's good.
Yeah, of course. It's a classic story. But, I don't know, man. I don't know if we needed to do three movies. But there's my buddy David, so we're gonna call it short.
All right. Yeah, I gotta bring him in.
Gotta bring him in here. So thanks, Renee, and get out there and see Guardians of the Galaxy, you guys.
I'm gonna see it again.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.